Great. Good evening. It's now 5:30 p.m. I'm calling to order the Kitsap County Planning Commission regular meeting of Tuesday, April 21st, 2020 at 5:30 p.m. This is our first virtual meeting. We're pleased you joined us this evening. We had initially planned when prior to the governor issuing the different orders to have a partially in-person meeting. Then we were going to transition to virtual and have a test meeting. That didn't come together. I know several of you were invited by Amanda to participate at different times. And it looks like we've worked out a lot of the bugs. I know I did. And I'm so thankful to Amanda because I called in on a different device last Friday and Dave joined us, but we had a little glitch where when my mic was off, Dave couldn't hear us and vice versa. It was ridiculous. But anyway, we sorted it out and welcome to all of you here. I noticed Commissioner Allen cannot join us. She has emailed all of us to let us know she's going to be out of town and she will participate in the next meeting. And Amanda, have you heard from Richard Chaddick? I know he worked out his IT issue and was supposed to join us, but I don't see him here yet.
So I just promoted him from attendee to panelist. I see him down below, so I think he should be all right.
Great.
All right.
Fantastic. So great, thank you. Usually when we introduce ourselves, we're obviously up on the dice and can work our way down. A little bit different format, but maybe what we'll do is we'll start with Aaron Murphy and work our way to the left and then up to the top. So if Aaron, you could introduce yourself.
Sure. And if you don't want to play Brady Bunch on the circles because the people's faces move, you can just go down the participant list and I'd still be first. This is Aaron Murphy with North Kinsey.
I'm Alan Bean.
Okay. Amy?
Oh, sorry, I think our participant lists must be in different orders. This is Amy Mall, North Kitsap.
Joe Phillips, North Kitsap.
Ed Galloway, South Kitsap.
Richard?
Oh, Richard Chaddick, Central Kitsap.
Great. And then if we could staff introduce, starting with Angie. And she's muted, so Angie's here, Angie Silva. Jim looks like he may or may not have logged in.
Jim is logged in, but I'm not sure that he has audio.
So okay.
He may just be watching from afar.
Okay, hopefully he can send you a message through the chat. Liz, is Liz here?
Hi, all. I'm here, Liz Williams with Department of Community Development.
Great, welcome. Public Works staff, start with John Brand.
I'm John Brand. I'm the County Engineer of the Public Works Department. And sitting with me is Jeff Shea, the County Traffic Engineer, and Christy DeGois, our County Safety, Traffic Safety, and Operations Engineer.
Great, welcome.
Thank you.
Darren?
Darren Gurney with Department of Community Development.
And Amanda?
And I'm Amanda Walson, the Clerk to Planning Commission.
And Mike Eliason, Commissioner Central Kitsap Chairperson. Introductions. Our next agenda item, if you follow us, is B, virtual meeting protocol. As I mentioned earlier, this is our first trial run at it. So far, so good. We're going to experiment with some of these things too, with a hybrid, especially public speaking. I can visually see you, you can see me. Some of you are going to switch so that you see the speaker speak and they'll rotate through. And we have a large group of commissioners, but rather than have my calling you to speak, I thought we could just kind of play it by ear and at any time during presentations, not sure yet, we'll ask the staff if they want us to interject during their presentation briefing or if they want us to hold questions till the end, but we'll play it by ear. And as long as people aren't talking over anybody, we'll just kind of free flow it. And if that doesn't work, we'll go back to regular order and raise our hand and go from there. Is that okay with everybody?
Sure. Good.
Sounds great. So item C is adoption of agenda. Is there a motion to approve? We have a recommendation from staff to move item H for the good of the order. We'll still keep for good of the order, but we want to move up the 2019 Comprehensive Plan Amendments Progress Report up to the, and put it together with item F.
Move to approve the agenda as modified.
Okay, we have a motion from Commissioner Phillips. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Commissioner Galloway, motion and second to approve the agenda as modified. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Approval of minutes. The first set is February 18, 2020. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to review those. I know Amanda had a little bit of an issue. She had uploaded them, but apparently some individuals could not access it, so she re-uploaded it. I know I got my set, and I was able to look through theirs. I had a couple little clarifying edits, really didn't change anything. I've submitted those to Amanda. I don't know if the rest of you have any corrections, but we'll start first with February 18. By the way, I thought Amanda did a really, and her staff did a great job with those. So any corrections for February 18, 2020? If not, we'll have a motion to approve those meeting minutes.
Move to approve the meeting minutes.
Okay.
I'll second.
We have a motion and second. All those in favor of approving the meeting minutes February 18, 2020, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries.
If next, I could interrupt, Mike, for just sure. a moment. I just wanted to bring up that we have people calling in as well, and there's audio record being recorded. So while we can all see each other, or those of us that are joining by the web can see each other, those that are just relying on audio don't know who's speaking. So if you either want to acknowledge individuals by name, or if everybody wants to announce their name into the record, you know, for the record, this is Commissioner Phillips, or however you'd like to do it, that'll help make a better audio experience for folks that are just listening in.
Sounds great, Amanda, and thank you for the reminder. I appreciate that. And I started the meeting with originally with that, and then I went off course, so we'll remember to do that. So who made the motion on the 3-3? Have we gotten that yet? Meeting minutes of 3-3?
Oh, I had made the initial
motion. Yeah, I think made initial. Who was the second?
I believe Mr. Shattuck.
Yeah, I heard two of you. So, okay, we'll put Richard. Great. Okay, item E. Sorry, I've got too much going on. We did vote on that, correct? Did I call the votes, Amanda?
No, we need a vote for the second set of minutes.
That's what I thought.
There we go.
I jumped ahead of myself. So you two consent to the motion and second for March 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Any abstentions? Motion carries. The meeting minutes of March 3rd, 2020 are approved. And Amanda will sort out later how I get a signed copy to you.
Sounds good.
Okay. General comment. Item E. This is the opportunity for the public to participate in our meeting and provide comments to us orally or in written form about any matter, including those items on the agenda. Of course, again, we're used to having the physical format where people appear before us, sign the registration form, and we don't have that tonight. So, Amanda, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. If you could, you have a slide you mentioned you were going to present. I want to particularly highlight the section on page 2 of the agenda where it references for internet users, how they use the hand feature to participate, and the same thing for call-in users to hit *9 to be able to participate.
Just one second, I'm working on
okay, and while you're doing that, I'll just mention, as noted in the agenda, if there are, and I don't know if you can tell us, Amanda, if you have any written comments up to your deadline today to present. We'll give 2 minutes to every written comment, and then of course provide written copies to every commissioner and staff. And then any oral testimony tonight, we're going to limit to 3 minutes, but we welcome participation.
So, am I correct that you can all see that image?
Yes.
Here's some information, okay. So for internet users, there's a raise your hand feature, which is a blue circle with a hand. So we've got a few attendees, a few attendees over along the side. And if you want to speak, just click that button. We will keep track of who wishes to speak. For call-in users, since you don't have that visual cue, you can press *9 on your keypad to signal that you'd like to comment, and that will show up on our screen as a raised hand also. The last four digits of the number will be announced, and then we can I'll unmute the callers and you can go ahead and provide your testimony.
Sounds
as great. Mentioned, the written comment, I didn't receive any, so there's nothing for me to read into the record.
Okay, great. And we also have the chat opportunity as well. You can send a message, and our first one is from Regina Adamson, and it just disappeared. Let me get back to that. Oh, there it is. I'd like to speak about a zoning ordinance in a specific location. So can we get her to participate right now?
Yes, so
great, thank you.
Just unmuted, Regina. I think that you should be able to speak from this point.
Yes, ma'am. Can you folks hear me okay?
We can.
Yes.
Okay, good evening. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to join you folks. I appreciate a lot of what's going on in our community as far as development and bringing things up to, you know, codes and stuff. I'm a community activist. I'm the founder of the Kitsap Public Market in Bremerton. And we're a community hub where folks, I can connect them to affordable location to start their business, and people can purchase things at an affordable price, as well as a place folks can get resources for themselves, like seniors, veterans, and folks. As another thing too is that we're bringing back the town hall type meeting location where people can find out these kind of things with you guys and what's going on, so that they can have more of a voice to some of these projects that they feel they want or don't want in a location. So I appreciate this opportunity to be able to work with you folks on maybe some future projects. My current question and situation is that back in 1999, the little store on Trenton, known as the Templeton's Meat Locker, on the corner of Trenton and Stoneway, 2544 Stoneway, right on the outskirts of the Never Neverland of the Bremerton city limits. We're in the county, so across the street at the Mountain View Middle School is the Bremerton, and then we're here in the county across the street. When the zoning thing got changed to residential at that time, nobody in the laws were different, and nobody in the area got the memo. And so they are very kind of sad that we're not able to reopen right away as we had planned. I got all my permits and was all the way to the point of turning on my open sign. Then I find out that because of the zoning ordinance, we have to do all these upgrades and things, which I already had planned on doing anyways. But by being open, I would have been able to generate the money to do these projects. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe we can work together on getting this going so that we can have a affordable community location people can obtain resources and services from. I have paperwork as well. If you are interested, I can have those emailed to you or sent to you or faxed to you, however you want to do it. I've also looked over these laws, you know, the WAC laws, RAC laws or something, and basically went over the stuff that wasn't done in order for that location to change its zone. So I'd like to work with you guys on this project as changing the residential areas to having allowed mini marts in some places. That's the one I'd like to work with you folks, so we can get it rezoned in that place. Thank you for your time.
Great, thank you. We appreciate you joining us tonight and providing comment. Amanda, do we have any other hands raised?
I do not see any other hands raised, and I don't have any other chat notifications. I will mention for Regina, I will go ahead and respond to your message with my contact information, and you can forward anything that you'd like to pass on, and I can distribute that to the Planning Commission and staff.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, thanks, Amanda. Hearing no other individuals wanting to participate, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Item F, briefing 2019-2020 zoning use table update, Darren Gurney, DCD.
Actually, Mr. Eliason, I believe you had identified item H to go before this.
I was planning to, I combined the two of them together. Whichever way you guys want to handle it's fine with us, so.
I will defer to Dave Ward.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fine. The order doesn't matter if it helps staff.
Is that for the comp plan update?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do that. Go ahead.
So, as you know, the comprehensive plan amendments for 2019, which, yes, I know it's 2020, for 2019 have continued to move forward through the board's process. There was a public hearing in front of the Board of County Commissioners earlier this month, and the board has been in deliberations over the past week on this. The bulk of the amendments have moved forward with no surprises and no change. The clarifying edits, MRO zone cleanup, the center's designations, the Silverdale-Kingston UGA Association and future incorporation, those all move forward without change. The downtown Kingston also move forward. The deliberations for the Dickey Pitt site-specific, as you can imagine, have been I'll say there's just been more discussion on that, trying to determine which way the board wants to go on that. At this point, the board appears to be moving forward with, while there has not been a decision made, the board appears to be moving forward with a suggestion of the development agreement. As we had discussed with the Planning Commission, with the conditions in the development agreement that the Planning Commission discussed, that included, and help me out, Angie, if I miss any, that included the provisions for road designation, included provisions for the compatibility issues with the quarry lands to the south. And the other items. Right now, based on public testimony, there has been an additive item that is part of the prospective development agreement, which would add a component of affordable housing that came out of the public public testimony at the hearing. And so there's some discussion as to putting a sliding scale for how much affordable housing would be provided in the development. Along with that is also the condition for transfer development rights, which is required under code for the zones that are proposed. So, right now, in the last discussion, the board discussed a sliding scale for both transfer development rights and for affordable housing to be ultimately determined in the development agreement. Angie, did you have anything else to add to that?
No, that's a great summary. Similar to the Planning Commission's deliberation on the site-specific, the board too has taken at least three different deliberations times to work through what the potential conditions of approval may be, which included more input from the Suquamish tribe, as well as the applicant itself, to what is currently drafted for their ordinance consideration on Monday, April 27th. As Dave mentioned, we do anticipate some additional revisions on what that may look like. So at this point in time, it's not all said and done, but it is pointing to a direction of approval with conditions, with many of the elements the Planning Commission did recommend and had before them as part of the public testimony you collected as part of your review.
And we expect a final decision on that again on the 27th of April. Any questions?
Great. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. And Angie. Okay, Darren.
Thank you. For the record, Darren Gurney, Department of Community Development. I'm going to attempt to share my screen for the executive summary. Is that coming through?
Came through.
Okay. So tonight is a brief evening for this project. Very large project. This is the zoning use table update that started in 2019. Originally, we had prepared to come before you on the 17th of March to discuss a draft proposal as it was moving forward. Tonight's meeting is meant to update you on the schedule and the strategy as we move forward. I believe our last meeting actually went through a very detailed orientation of how to navigate the documents when you do receive them. So this is getting more into just the scheduling piece. I believe we've covered most of this in the past, but just for those who are just coming into the project started in 2019. We started with online surveys, some Planning Commission study sessions, and community organization presentations, open houses, and some larger workshops with rotating stations and facilitated discussions. All of those efforts went into developing an initial draft for review that we would then take through the public process. That draft has, in its complexity, has definitely created multiple revisions and points where we have to go back and analyze and revise what we've put forward as a draft for internal review to start this process. We came to you with an initial format for the document back on March 3rd and gave you some of the preliminary feedback from the outreach efforts and kind of went through the section placement in the draft document just to orient you to what you're going to be seeing in the future. And just for clarification, if you have questions, feel free to ask me during this or at the end of this presentation. So as we move forward, we do have some changes that occurred between the last meeting and today regarding the residential uses. Some of those changes are identified here in the executive summary. I don't know if you remember, but we had dwelling before quite a few definitions to lump those definitions together. We're looking at shifting that back to the original way that we had done our definitions without that dwelling as a precursor. We had a couple of updates to adult family homes. We are reorganizing the special provision section. If you remember in the past, we were going to do some combination of adding special provisions to the zone chapters and a separate chapter that was dedicated to the categorical uses. And what we found is that that was actually a little difficult to navigate back and forth between two different locations to try and find those provisions. So we're modifying that. And we are also clarifying some definitions as we move forward that we've encountered through our internal reviews for consistency. So I'm gonna shift to the schedule for the next bullet point. For the next two, actually, the schedule is meant to reflect what's happening recently. So many of these items we have already done in the past tense. As you move into the green bar section, the department recommendation, this is currently where we are right now. We are conducting internal meetings to confirm that our proposal is going to be coming out so that it is not changing in the future, other than through public participation and comments. This is our effort for version control. In the past, so this is where the strategy is coming in. The past strategy was that we were going to roll this out to you in an incremental approach. The change here is that we plan to get an entire draft done and completed and prepared with the staff report to come out all at once. That would be coming out towards the end of May. This draft would then move through all the work studies and through the public hearing process, only changing as a result of motions in that public process. And this whole sequence of events shifts the entire schedule. You'll see that instead of us adopting, we had proposed to adopt in July through the board with a 6-month effective date to occur on December 31st. You'll see the schedule actually is shifting to what we're believing is an October adoption. That's going to give us a 3-month implementation phase, an effective date. And we do believe that we can actually still do this with informing internal and externally to the department, the training necessary, updating our templates. We can get a head start on that earlier in the process than we anticipated, so that once this ordinance is effective, then we are able to move forward with permits and brochures and everything's ready to go. And a big part of this is a result of our current situation with trying to manage things through a digital platform and reviewing things in a way that it's a little bit easier to have the meetings in person for this kind of thing, for very complex issues. So that is the reasoning behind why this change is occurring. So I guess with that, willing to entertain questions about these changes. Also willing to entertain, if the Planning Commission so chooses, some clarifying questions that may have come out of the materials from the 17th. If you'll recall, that was the residential uses. As we mentioned, that's going to change a little bit, but not really in content. So I can answer some clarifying questions on that. And that is it for this evening.
Great. Commissioners, any questions of Darren or staff? Okay, hearing none so far. I want to find out a couple things. So you mentioned in response to the coronavirus, the department's preparing multiple presentations and virtual meeting formats to further inform the public about the project. And you discussed that. I wanted to find out, and this is relative to this project as well as some of the others, in regard to public participation, Darren, on our listserv, do you know approximately how many citizens in Kitsap County are subscribers to the listserv? And I don't need exact numbers, but I want to get a ballpark of the percentage of those that are subscribed and checked to get notifications about DCD projects and get subscribed to the Planning Commission. Because I know every once in a while, and you know, we do everything we can to make sure the public's informed, mailing out postcards, sending out notifications. I think our department, and you've heard me say this before, probably better than any jurisdiction, including the cities in Kitsap County. You guys do a fabulous job informing the public in when it comes to outreach. And you lay that out in the executive briefings. But I'm just curious, you know, Kitsap News Group just announced they're switching. You know, the North Kitsap Herald's been in print edition for probably 100 and some years. And now they've at least temporarily stopped the print edition and they're going all online. And we obviously know this for some time has been the wave of the future. But I'm wondering, what's our saturation as far as the listserv getting notification out to people? It wouldn't surprise me that the county's direct listserv is getting more responses from anybody than any other media source.
Off the top of my head, I would not know those numbers. I know that we have multiple listservs that we send notifications to for code updates. That typically includes when you subscribe to the Gov Delivery or electronic notification, gives you the options of projects that you want to pay attention to. And we base our sending off of those projects or topics. So we typically will send to those who have subscribed to code updates, comprehensive plan, and then each of the commissioner districts.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. I can get back to you with those.
Yeah, it's no rush. I'm trying to get a general idea. And then maybe from time to time when we look at, for example, maybe the commission decides that, hey, we want to get more saturation and input from people on vacation rentals. So maybe, I just wanted to find out if there's any sideboard barriers, any limitations to this kind of information is just going out to those who've subscribed to DCD versus how many are actually on the listserv if there's 30 to 50,000. Versus how many are getting, certain notifications. Obviously, you don't want to overdo it and oversend information as well as give out information to people who don't want it, but there may be specific topics during the course of the year. We want to get as much information out there as possible.
Commissioner, typically when we kick off a project like this one, we will do a very broad distribution on our lists. And then we'll request people to sign up for the listserv that is specific to that Then we gradually narrow down the list to that project, to those people who are interested in that project. The reason being that we don't want to bombard everybody with a bunch of stuff that they're not interested in or have no use for.
Right.
So when we start out, our initial kickoff actually goes out to tens of thousands of people. Across the county, and it goes out through government delivery, through the Gov Delivery Service, which is all the county listservs, but it also goes to Nextdoor and a couple of other platforms as well that distribute it within communities. So we're intentionally trying to reach people who are active in their communities, especially through Nextdoor, so that knowing that they will spread the word within their communities as well.
Right.
And then as we move on into the depths of the project, then we'll pull back a little bit so that way we're not giving people a bunch of background noise that they don't want to hear. So we have the ability, if the Planning Commission wants to reach out and do that broad brush reach out to the community, we can do that and then pull it back and narrow it down to those people who are interested in whatever topic we have at hand.
Great. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Great explanation, and I appreciate the methodology you're using. Okay. Any other comments or questions from commissioners to the staff? Okay, hearing none, we can move to our next agenda item. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you. Look
forward to seeing you in the
Thank you, commissioners.
Okay, now item G, work study, Title 11 Road Standards Code update. Thank you to the public work staff for being patient as we work through the other issues. You're on.
Okay, well, thank you for having us. I've been at the county for 26 years. I've participated in all kinds of hearings, never been to the Planning Commission before. So this is a first for me. So I appreciate the opportunity and thank you very much. So as I mentioned before, I'm John Brand. I'm the county road engineer, and with me is Jeff Shea, the traffic engineer, and Christy DeGoyce, who's our traffic safety and operations engineer in our road division. And we're here to discuss tonight the amendments to Title 11 of the county code. I'm sure all you guys have reviewed all the materials that we presented, but basically Title 11 defines the county road system, and it's everything to do with the county roads. It does not apply to private roads or anything outside county rights of way. The Title 11 portions of it had not been updated in many years. So a lot of the amendment is just is housekeeping and cleanup. But really the meat of Title 11 is the road standards. And the county road standards were first adopted in 2003. We didn't come to the Planning Commission. And were amended in 2007. And, after 2007, they were actually working really well. And we've had a lot of really positive input from our partners who are the local engineers and developers. So after 2007, we began to collect little doodads, things, suggested changes and things that we were having issues with. So we embarked on a revision to the 2007 standards. That must have been what, like 2013, maybe something like that. When we started and we wanted to move forward because we just had some minor edits, we went to the Builders Association And they were very satisfied with the road standards and couldn't really identify anything specific that they wanted to change. So that's why it dragged on so long. It wasn't a priority for the development community, and it really wasn't that high a priority for us. But finally, here we are. We've redone the road standards, and I think for the better. I think it's a really good document. And it's all about safety, and it's all about certainty for developers and private utilities that have franchise utilities within the county's rights of way. The road standards contains a lot of design criteria, criteria for the design of roadways, intersections, different traffic control devices, and things of that nature. And really, those standards are based on industry standards, like the AASHTO standard, which is the Association of State and Highway Transportation Officials, and the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, the METCD, and the city-county standards that are included in the local agency guidelines that come from the state of Washington that apply mostly to when the county gets federal transportation money, but it's applied to all federally classified roadways. That would be arterials and collectors and roadways, you know, kind of higher designated roads. So we like to think that the road standards provide a lot of flexibility because, you know, the primary audience for the county road standards are the local engineers and utility purveyors that are doing work in the rights of way. And so I really think, and I think that the local engineering community would agree that we've provided maximum flexibility to implement context-sensitive solutions. But, you know, there are minimum standards that have to be enforced. And those, as I mentioned before, largely come from AASHTO and the METCD and other guidance documents. So the principal team that was responsible for this update are the three of us in this room, but also there were a whole lot of other people involved in our construction division, our road maintenance group, folks out at our traffic signal shop and our planners. We've worked pretty extensively with a lot of the local engineers. And as you mentioned, Commissioner, you know, we do a lot of public outreach, but it's really hard to get pertinent comments. So we went out several times for comments, and a lot of we got some really good stuff from locals, primarily on the traffic calming program, the neighborhood traffic calming program that's now in, I believe, chapter 10 of the new standards, or chapter 9, the neighborhood traffic calming program. A lot of interest in that, and let's see what else.
The parking.
So largely, the Title 11 stuff really doesn't have anything to do with land use, but the standards do. And let's see, a couple. I outlined in the summary some things that I thought that the Planning Commission might be specifically interested in the road standards. And one of them is the obviously road safety and speed enforcement is a constant concern for us and for the public. We've added that chapter 9. The traffic calming program that the county had was never really formalized. We were working under a policy that was adopted many years ago that was really ambiguous. And so the local traffic calming program pertains to kind of neighborhoods and controlling speed and safety in local neighborhoods. So put a lot of work into that and got a lot of good input from the community. The on-street parking, requirements for on-street parking can be pretty contentious. We worked and we got some really good input from a couple of local engineers on the on-street parking. That was one of the issues in the 2007 that was somewhat contentious, and there was some ambiguity in there. So we've really improved the on-street parking requirements, I believe. Let's see. Another thing that, you know, we're kind of bearing our souls here, because these are the items that are most contentious and that we have issues with just by their nature. And one of them is the opening and use of rights of way. You know, when the county was developed over the last couple of 150 years, these roads were dedicated, rights of way were dedicated to the county, and many of them were not improved. Like nowadays, when somebody dedicates a road to the county, it's got to be constructed to county standards, and obviously dedicated, the right of way has to be dedicated to the county. But in years past, they would just dedicate the right of way, then the roadway would never be built. And so there's many places throughout the county where there are unopened rights of way and lots of record that are situated on these unopened rights of way. And as these areas develop, it's really cumbersome and really challenging to manage the right of way openings. And so we did add a chapter in here, the chapter 10. Hopefully we'll provide some clarity to that subject. Let's see. And then frontage improvements have been an issue on land development activities where, you know, somebody's developing a piece of land on an arterial road, and we require, may or may not require sidewalks or bike lanes or other frontage improvements along the frontage of a development, whether it be commercial or residential. So that's kind of the highlight. Is anything that you have, Jeff, that you would like to throw in there?
Covered it.
Christy?
Okay.
So that's it. If you guys have any questions, we'd be glad to answer them.
Commissioners, any questions?
I've got a question. This is Commissioner Phillips. A lot of the issues that we're getting with development, and that when the public's coming to us and voicing their opinions, we're getting a lot of traffic questions. People are raising the question all the time of, the latest was Dickey Pitt. You know, people were speaking up about that if that development went in, that traffic is going to be just terrible. And it kind of leaves us in a lurch of, we really don't have anybody that speaks to that on the Planning Commission to help address that to the public when they're asking these questions. I believe Mike was looking for this kind of participation so that we could kind of start to feed back information to the public when they're asking these questions.
Well, we would be glad to participate, you know, however you guys think is appropriate. We do coordinate fairly closely with DCD and Angie and the folks over there. But are you saying on a project specific basis, or just is this kind of just a general concern?
Well, it's a general concern because it seems that year after year, we always get traffic issues being discussed.
Yeah.
And even just being able to let people know, okay, public work is where you go to address those issues, and here's how they're going to address it. You know, that would help.
Yeah. So, just so you know,
Mr. Phillips, I'm happy to speak to some stuff, but I don't want to cut Mr. Brand off as well. So,
I was just going to say, give Commissioner Phillips an idea of what our current practice is. And that is, when a developer submits something, a land use application to the county, it's reviewed by Christy, sitting to my right here, and Jeff's team. And we do a review of the potential traffic impacts. and Christy develops and works with DCD to develop the conditions of approval to address those traffic impacts. Those are provided to DCD and included in the hearing examiner's decision. So that's kind of our standard practice. Something like this rezone, and Christy and Jeff are probably more familiar with it specifically than I, but we have worked some with community development on that. And we're available. I mean, we'll fill whatever role. If the Planning Commission has specific needs from Public Works, we'd be more than happy to participate if you let us know what your needs are.
Commissioner Phillips, as Mr. Brand mentioned, we coordinate at a non-project as well as a project level with Public Works, not just the road division, but also the stormwater utility when appropriate. So when the Dickey site specific, which is again a zone change, not necessarily a project specific application under review, we do coordinate prior to SEPA issuance of a determination, any potential impacts to public utilities, including traffic, and whether that was analyzed in existing environmental documents, as well as what that could look like and potential, especially in the Dickey proposal, what that could look like in a conditions of approval. So if you recall, during that public process for the site-specific application, incorporated a lot of feedback, which included also Dave Fort, who's part of the Public Works roads team over there that helped provide a lot of the draft conditions when it came to non-motorized trails, for example, in addition to whether the spine connection road that was highlighted as, with the applicant, should that be considered a public right-of-way or should we be considering that a private roadway, etc. So those things are flagged early on the process and how we capture and summarize that prior to really getting into the deliberations before the commissioners. Again, if there's more specific information you are seeking, the department is happy to reach out to Public Works and bring that back to the Planning Commission. I want to be respectful of my peers and Public Works time as well.
Thanks, Angie.
If I could add to Commissioner Phillips' comment, I think we got the cloud level, which is during the annual comprehensive plan process. You know, having general knowledge and insight into transportation issues and how they affect land use decisions and development regulations and that type of thing. And then on the site specific, which doesn't come every year, but can come every year, and particularly in regard to Dickey Pit, I think each of us has our own criteria we use in addition to, you know, state statutes, case law, Growth Management Act, et cetera. And when we have members of the public come before us and talk about the transportation impacts, at least for me, and I think my fellow commissioners, it would be helpful, even though the staff, as Angie just outlined, has gone into all the details, SEPA, determination of non-significance, all that. We get the summaries of that, but if any individual commissioners have specific questions about, for example, I'd like to see maps with concurrency to say, okay, for this particular project, how close are we getting to concurrency on these arterial roads? You know, what is the impact if that extra road doesn't go up to Willamette Meridian that's being insisted or at least recommended by the staff, and whether we should approve that as a condition of approval? Traffic counts in various areas. So I think it depends, again, whether it's a specific project or whether it's we're getting close to our comprehensive plan review. At least for me, it would be helpful if I'm better educated on all the data and the numbers before I go into that process. And so, you know, we can reach out to you guys at the appropriate time. I don't think we want to add any extra layer into the bureaucracy, because I think, you know, the staff of planning, Public Works and the DCD work well together, and you have a lot of interactions together. We don't want to throw any monkey wrenches into that. I think it's more of just to be more well informed about issues in our own deliberative process.
Well, we look forward to providing whatever it is that you need. If you, it'd probably be best if you run it through DCD, but we'd be glad to provide you whatever you need.
Great, thanks. Any other questions or comments?
I have a quick question. Say, John, when you're dealing with these old right-of-ways, you know, one of the problems that I keep coming up with these things are the
even if I get rid of the old public right-of-way, there's an underlying private easement that runs with that old right-of-way that you have people saying, well, you can't build there because there's a private easement where the old public right-of-way used to be. Is that one of the issues you're talking about in terms of dealing with rights-of-way, or what kind of issues are you?
Well, what you're talking about is when we vacate a right-of-way. So if you're an attorney, so you probably know this better than I. When someone dedicates right-of-way to the county, and then at a later time that right-of-way is vacated, the original property owner has the underlying rights to it. So if the county vacates a right-of-way, it goes to the adjacent property owner in almost every case, unless the county owns it fee simple. So is that what you're talking about?
Well, a little. It sounds like you're not having as much of a problem. We had lots of issues down in Mason County, particularly where when the old rights of way go away, that there's underlying private easement that still sits in those rights of ways. And so, just want to. It sounds like it's not as big of a problem in King.
Yeah, there are places where there are private easements. In the right of way, but typically the problem that we have is when it's vacated, it goes back to the adjacent property owner, and some people don't like that.
Yeah, that's a good question and comment, Richard, because Indianola comes to my mind. I had sales out there decades ago, and it's still happening in recent years where you have a lot of these lots were platted decades ago, and you have these roads that were never installed. And then you end up in disputes with neighbors and people not getting along because, you know, again, roads that were platted that were never put in. Indianola is just one example. I know Manchester, other areas as well. So,
sure, they're all over the county.
Any other questions?
Commissioner Galloway here. I have a quick question. I don't want to get in and spend too much time on this issue, but I just would like to state that I'm highly interested in the traffic calming measures that you mentioned and what we're doing there. And and this is somewhat personal to me. I live on a 25 mile an hour road here that I'm hearing people here zoom by at 50, 60 miles an hour daily. And so I'd be interested in knowing kind of what you're thinking there, where we're headed with that. The other thing is we're a pretty rural county, and I find pedestrian, I don't feel comfortable sending my kids out on the county roads or even in my own neighborhood riding their bikes and walking around. And I'm curious as to know what kinds of things you're looking at with regards to pedestrian safety, walkways, things like that, and also the traffic calming. Those are my two questions.
Okay, so the traffic calming chapter is primarily, it's really limited to local access roads in neighborhoods. But before I should mention that, you know, speeding complaints, it's huge. I mean, speeding vehicles, they're dangerous. It really upsets the public. We get tons of calls. And, you know, I don't want to throw the sheriff under the bus, but a lot of that is an enforcement issue. And so the traffic calming that we have in the road standards is primarily limited to local access roads in neighborhoods. So we do have projects where we have done traffic calming on arterials and collectors, higher volume roads. These projects can be very contentious, especially if they involve the installation of speed bumps or speed tables or anything that might delay traffic or make the roads less operational. So this is a highly the traffic calming is highly contentious, and it's one of the largest issues that we face. There are some things that we can do on like in Silverdale and in business districts to provide traffic calming. But speeding is just a major issue. And I don't have the answer for you. It's a major issue. You know, we work closely with the sheriff. A lot of road taxes, the road levy taxes are provided to the sheriff to provide traffic enforcement. And it's a very difficult issue. So in terms of the pedestrian safety, as the county urbanizes and the road standards have requirements for the construction of sidewalks, and in the rural areas, you know, we have a program to pave shoulders. We work with David Fort, who works with our non-motorized committee to provide paved shoulders and pedestrian amenities. But the traffic calming and the speeding, that's just, it's a huge issue. And I wish I could be more definitive on the answer, but our traffic calming program as it relates to this Title 11 is really limited to neighborhoods, local access roads in neighborhoods, and not arterials and collectors.
Thank you. I understand that and recognize that's a very, you know, a county as big as ours, that's a very difficult topic. So I appreciate that you all are looking at that and look forward to hearing more about that in the future.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks, Commissioner Galloway. I'm glad you mentioned the issue and I appreciate John and the staff's response to that. In fact, in the executive summary, I've got my yellow pen and I highlighted residential calming, traffic calming, and I had two words, inventory and controversy. And I'm glad you highlighted that because it is an issue and it's not recent. And over the decades, I remember when you installed the traffic calming devices out in Hansville back in Commissioner Bauer's term. And those are days we'd like to forget. But I think overall, people don't like it, but it does improve public safety. And you mentioned an issue of enforcement, and it is a big problem. Any other questions, commissioners? And I think I had one I wanted to ask you about. If I find my notes, if you could bear with me. And I think it's on the second two to merge together. And I know Title 11 has some interaction with political signage, but I'm wondering, you talked and you highlighted the flexibility working with the development community and the installation of the roads, you know, moving forward, because some of this stuff hasn't been touched in 50 years. So, you know, amending the code language, and I'm going to go through it more specifically before our next meeting. But I'm wondering if there was any mitigation in the document to help travelers, especially as it's getting more and more congested during, and I know because of the constitutional issues, political signage can be problematic, but here we go back to enforcement again, and this is one area where I will criticize the county. I think staff does the best they can, but they don't want to offend candidates and political officials by removing signs that are oversized, shouldn't be in the right of way, whether it's a wood frame or a metal frame. Those kinds of things are written into the code, but I think sometimes it's overlooked too, just because the campaign season is short. Well, that season has become bigger and bigger. In fact, I hadn't been out of the house, and I think in about a month, and I went down to Seebeck to take a ride, and there's already political signs up. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. We haven't even hit filing week yet in May, and here they are. Anyway, I'll get to my point, which is there any mitigation in the code, and do you guys have any suggestions of things that can be implemented to help travelers when these signs keep getting more and more out to where a lot of signs are hanging out across the pavement? I mean, they're way in the right-of-way, not just in the right-of-way, they're way over, and it's an enforcement issue because they're blocking arterial traffic, driveways, people trying to pull out, and you have not only a distraction, and that's even if you can see outside of it, but a lot of people, I even watch them, trying to risk pulling out, hoping they don't hit oncoming traffic because somebody's political sign's in the way.
Well, that falls primarily under the sign code, but certainly if somebody places a sign that is a detriment to the traffic safety, it blocks sight distance or creates a traffic hazard, by all means, you should call Public Works and we would probably send somebody out there to pull it out.
Or move it. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Or,
for moving back.
And speaking of issues that are not related but still involve public works, where are you in your process now for your authorized study for transportation impact fees? Is that going to be released later this year?
We've got a selected a consultant. We've got a contract that's moving forward to the commissioners. And in fact, Jeff just mentioned before this meeting that it should be on the docket here very soon with the commissioners to move forward with the impact fee review and study.
Okay, great. And then last thing I have is I wanted to find out in your public involvement and outreach, which you guys did a real good job over the years with the various groups, and you mentioned groups in there, but I'm guessing that you probably have, over time have had interactions with the school districts and public transit, Kitsap Transit, and then fire and EMS. Have they been able to look at the, any stakeholder groups been able to look at the final document so far, or any input?
Well, as far as the fire districts, we work primarily with the county's fire marshal's office, and they have certainly had ample opportunity to review and provide comments. Over the years, I mean, we've had interaction with individual fire districts and especially they have a special interest with getting some of their larger trucks through some of our roundabouts, or, you know, they have some interest in some of our specific projects. So we've worked fairly closely with them, but primarily with the fire marshal.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. And Angie, maybe it's a request, if the commissioners don't mind, if we can at least have the fire marshal division possibly pass this off to the fire chiefs, just because obviously the fire marshal doesn't operate fire apparatus. So that would be great.
Yeah. Happy to do that, Commissioner. And also just a note, we do have an new assistant director over building and fire division for the department, David Kinley. He did start March 30th, so I'm happy to pass that along.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, any other questions?
I should mention on that subject, though, that we do have, I have identified in the road standards the appropriate design vehicles for different classifications of road, and they're all able to accommodate fire apparatus. And we have worked with the fire districts on numerous occasions where they've provided us with the steering templates and sizes of their equipment.
Great. So, thank you. Commissioner Beam?
This may not be appropriate in Title 11, but I've got to ask the question. Where do I find the plans for growth and how you're going to develop and handle growth that's coming? Shouldn't that be mentioned someplace in this process?
What specifically, Commissioner Beam, as relates to our growth targets for jobs as well as population,
if the population grows, it would be nice if we had a grid plan laid out for how we're going to handle this.
As part of the Growth Management Act, we're required a 20-year comprehensive plan. As part of that comprehensive plan update, which our next update is scheduled for adoption by 2024, part of that is review of taking those targets, assigning them to various urban areas. In addition to doing the SEPA environmental analysis of the natural as well as built environmental impacts of that, one of that efforts is the traffic analysis at a programmatic non-project level of what those growth targets mean to the public right-of-way system. As part of the SEPA documents, and this will come before the Planning Commission in voluminous pages of documents and information, as well as maps of what roadways are triggered and level of service in addition to a certain degree of intersections. So that all is compiled. That's currently available in the last major update in 2016. And again, part of that environmental impact statement review.
If you look at the growth management documents in the comp plan, most of the comp plan is big picture goals and desires. There's very little in there about execution of what we're doing now to plan for this growth.
Again, there's a big difference between programmatic review versus the project level. So the comp plan is, again, doing that high level 30,000 foot of impacts of zoning changes and what that means to a lot of utility as well as roadway systems, what we nailed down as part of project review and applications is really the site-specific traffic impact analyses and how to condition and mitigate those through SEPA, as well as any of the appropriate land use and site development activity permits. Implementation also is part of the programmatic review, and those comp plan looks at existing funding sources. And sometimes you see proposed mitigation measures to close the gap to finance various utility infrastructure that is necessary to see those potential UGA expansions or up zones within those UGAs.
Thank you.
Great. And Commissioner Beam's comment got me thinking too. Excluding maintenance and repair and the addition of Greaves Way in central Kitsap, do you know approximately how many miles of new road have been built in Kitsap County in the past decade or two decades or whatever time frame you want to use?
In terms of new roads on new alignments, Greaves Way is really the only one I can think of. We've done a couple
higher level arterial collector, yeah. There are some smaller roads.
We've got some smaller roads, but yes, Greaves Way is the only one that I can think of that was a new alignment.
Okay.
New road.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, any other comments, questions?
Commissioner, I just wanted to rewind for a moment back to your sign code question. Mm-hmm. That sign code, as John mentioned, is in 17.510. It's in Title 17. And any signs that are safety hazards can immediately be pulled. So if anything is encroaching on the roadway or on visibility, those can immediately be pulled by public works staff. And while there are no public works staff that are actively out just patrolling, looking for sign problems, as the crews travel the county road system, they do remove signs frequently. Also, any sign that's on a wire frame automatically gets pulled because those are mowing hazards.
Great, thank you. Great, any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, thank you. We appreciate your participation. Great briefing. My own personal comment is Public Works has been really responsive. I know I had a situation one time where the road was buckling and all I did was call Kitsap 1 and report it, and your staff was out there within a couple days and they fixed it. You can't beat better government service. So thank you. Appreciate the work you guys do.
Thank you. Thank you for all of your time.
Great, thank you. Okay, that brings us to item H for the good of the order. Staff, commissioners, have any comments? How about the virtual format? Any comments about it? Things working, not working? Got a thumbs up from Commissioner Murphy.
I think it works great. I vote Mr. Shattuck's background is the most interesting. He's been trying to figure out which mountain view he's got. But works well.
Can we comment on the fact that Mike isn't in focus?
Yeah, I need to switch devices again. I switched from my smartphone to this, and it's a little out, like I'm in Venus or somewhere.
So we're going to have a report card kind of, or scoring after the meeting to kind of score whose backgrounds and camera focuses and all that are working well.
That works. Yeah, it's the next best thing. It's the best we can do. And as I mentioned earlier, if there's a hybrid in the future where people can participate this way, that would be great. But I definitely miss the in-person interaction. You can't replace it. So you do the best you can, but not quite as good as it could be. And I noticed on attendees, it looks like Andrew Nelson, the director, is logged in. And I'm guessing he's here and was listening in, and I know he does a really great job too, so I want to give a shout out to him if he's happens to be still listening and logged in. We appreciate his attendance as well.
Just one quick comment.
Mr. Chairman, that's what a great job Amanda did in keeping this going, helping neophyte computer users through this project. So I really appreciate Amanda's help.
Yep. I second that one.
Yep.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Any other items? Staff have any other announcements? And thanks, Dave. Appreciate Dave coming back. I know it looked like he wasn't there, but he was there listening in. Happy to see him.
I was actually here the whole time. I had accidentally hid myself, which I didn't know you could do in a Zoom meeting, and I couldn't figure out how to get it back.
Oh, no problem. I thought maybe you were like Aaron and Amy and sneaking in food or something, but no
problem. Yeah, no, there's a way to hide yourself, and it took me a while to figure out how to get my image back. Sorry.
Dave, I think that's the button that you push that says, for the good of the org. I'm kidding. Thanks for all your hard work. I know it's been difficult, and thanks to everybody for embracing change in a required time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Commissioner Murphy, you've regained an hour of time not having to drive all the way in.
You know, I was on a home builders thing with Russ, Alan, and like, because there's trucks driving here, so the piece of cake, you should do it all the time.
Great. Any other comments? Hearing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Commissioner Phillips made a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Commissioner Murphy?
Commissioner Murphy, second.
Okay, motion to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned at 6:42 p.m. according to my time. Amanda's got the official clock, and thank you to everybody, and look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
Okay. Stay safe.
Thank you.
See you.